Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome back to the Ages of Rock podcast. This is episode number 320. And tonight we are sans Dennis, but we gained Doug back. My buddy Doug Sabotin's been on the show before two times. He's a repeat offender. And we're going to talk about the arena tour with Joan Jett, Poison, Motley Crue, and Def Leppard. We've all three been to that show. Doug went twice because he just couldn't get enough. So he went two times. Maybe one time was cheaper than the other one. That might have been the case. I don't remember. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about kind of our experiences at the show, differences in the set list, kind of our experiences in general. I'd never been to any big arena show like that before in a football stadium. So just a different take on it. So there you go. Hey, Doug, you want to talk a little bit about yourself? People don't know you probably. They probably know Alan and I by now, unless you're a first time listener or watcher.
Sure. Absolutely. Appreciate the two of you asking me to join in a couple of times before. We had talked about Rush. Bill and I are good friends. We have been for 20 or so years. We work together, hang out together. Appreciate the opportunity to be on the pod. Losing Dennis and getting me is like 25% of what it would normally be. So I wouldn't expect a whole lot.
No, we don't really expect a whole lot when Dennis is here either. So, you know.
I will say, regarding just because of the time frame of Pyromania and Hysteria, the two Def Leppard albums back in the 80s, I was a sophomore in high school when Pyromania came out, and then I was a junior in college when Hysteria came out. So because of that time period and the type of music, Def Leppard would be my all-time favorite band. So it was really awesome to see them, you know, twice. Once outdoors, once in, once at Wrigley Field up in Chicago, then last week at Lucas Oil in Indianapolis. So excited and appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight.
Well, before we get started, I just want to let everybody know that we told Dennis he couldn't come back on the show until he cleaned his room up.
Yeah, we were tired of looking at the cat shit. So, look what the cat dragged in. Oh, dang it. We missed a perfect opportunity. We're going to, okay, that will be the title of the show.
We'll have to figure that out. Already got the show title.
Huh?
I said I already got the show title.
Oh, you do? Okay, well,
I got the show title. I've got the description all ready to go. All we got to do is finish the recording.
Wow. Yeah. That's so rare.
Well, I'm only going to be around for about half the week, so I've got to get a lot of stuff done by Wednesday.
You're around all week, dude.
Yeah, I said a round, not
oh,
round.
I'm sorry. I thought you said round.
Listening to my hillbilly accent. Anyway.
Yep, so we're just going to have like a general conversation just kind of about this thing. Before we get too far into this, in case somebody loses track, I got to give a shout out. So when we were at the show in Indy, a young lady came up to me that knew my son Alex. I went with Alex and my buddy Jay, and came up to me and said, "Hey, I listen to your show all the time." I'm like, "What show?" I didn't really think about the podcast because she's like 25 or something like that.
What show?
She goes, "Your podcast." Alex told me about your podcast. It's your podcast all the time. So Bridget Pickens, if you hear this, you better put something on Facebook, or you better put something on Instagram, or I almost said Netflix.
Them but you can put something on Netflix
if you want to. You could do it. Yeah, anything. Tag us. We want to know that you heard it, so let us know. Anyway, so there you go. That's about it for a shout-out, because that's all I got at this point. So What do you guys want to do? Do you want to just talk about each individual's kind of experience, and then we can kind of...
Well, before we do that, I want to give a shout out to Corey Nallen was at the Cincinnati show when I was there, and he was sitting on the other side of the venue, so he decided to come over where I was at the exact same time I went to the restroom. So I totally missed that he was there. He took a picture of my seat and everything, and he's like, "You're not here."
That's hilarious.
So, you know, I knew quite a few people that were there, and I never ran into anybody. You know, so shout out to Corey Nallen.
Yeah, cool. Haven't seen him for a while.
As Motley Crue would say, on with the show.
On with the show. All right, I think Doug, you went to an early show, right? Because was Wrigley Field an early show in the tour?
It was in July, right after the 4th of July at Wrigley. I think it was the 8th or 9th of July.
Yeah. When was yours, Alan?
July the something. July the 14th, 15th. It was the day after the Doobie show. I think it was July the 15th. Yeah.
Gotcha.
That sounds right. It was a Friday.
So, Doug, talk about Wrigley Field. What's it like going to a ball game? What's it like going to a ball game in a concert arena? What's a concert stadium? Or vice versa?
It was my first time to Wrigley. Have either of the two of you ever been to Wrigley? I'm sure you have.
I have walked outside of it. I've never been inside
have ever even been to Chicago is flying through O'Hare International Airport.
Wow. And, it's a cool place.
I went and saw ELO 3 or 4 years ago when they did their last tour across America. And that wasn't even in Chicago. It was... you know, one of the suburbs, and from what I understand, it was still quite a bit of ways from Chicago.
Yeah, probably Rosemont. It's out there a little bit.
That sounds right. Near an airport.
Yeah, it's out by the airport.
Yep.
A couple things I was surprised about just Wrigley in general. First, it's massive. I mean, I had no idea Wrigley Field was as big as it is. When you see the stadium on television or pictures of it, it's 5 times bigger than the Indianapolis Indian Stadium in downtown Indianapolis, which is a minor league baseball. But it was also a lot nicer than I thought it was going to be. I pictured it being old and dirty, and it was not very clean. The really cool thing for me about Wrigley is it's downtown Chicago. We were on vacation for a few days. It was a Friday evening. For me, it made a huge difference. I don't know, just the vibe last week, Bill, when we were in Indianapolis, of it being a Tuesday night, was a little different. It was outdoors. The weather was perfect. You know, the place, of course, was packed. But you know, not meaning to get too far in the weeds or things that we don't want to talk about, but it was really interesting for me because the demographic, the people who were at Wrigley, the demographic of the people were much different than at Indianapolis, which I thought was interesting. I don't know if that had to do with where it was or when it was, or the fact that it was a Friday night. The crowd was much younger in Chicago, and there were a lot more 20, 30-year-old women together, like groups of four or five.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a much different, much, much different demographic. And the people that we could see that we were hanging out with, because we were actually standing on a deck for most of the show out in right field, groups of four or five women just dancing and having a blast with Poison and Motley Crue, which for me in Indianapolis was totally different than what we experienced last week.
Let me ask a question about, did you go to the concessions?
Yes.
Did they take cash or did they do credit card only?
It was credit card only, and it was a cluster. There were very few concession areas and tons of people waiting.
There were tons of concession areas at the Great American Ballpark, but, you know, still taking the credit cards and not cash was a bit of a cluster, you know, because you'd put your credit card in there and you'd knock it over or whatever, and it's half the time it didn't work. And it's like, good Lord, just take this $20 bill. Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't realize that Cincinnati was in a ballpark. I guess it probably had to be. It could have been the football stadium, I suppose, but. No, I didn't realize it was in the baseball park too.
Yep. Ah. Which was big. It was big. It was clean. You know, the same description that he gave. but there were lots of concession areas.
Well, yeah. Speaking of concessions, which is very interesting, in Indianapolis at 5:30 on a Tuesday night, the concessions had run out of beer that we were at. The concession had run out of beer at 5:30, and they'd run out of food. They had pretzels and nachos. We were some of the people, the last people to get like pulled pork sandwiches, and they had like a whole list of sandwiches. That's all they had. It was ridiculous. I don't think they didn't plan for that in any way, shape, or form. I think my guess is that with it being a weeknight show, people that work the concession stands and stuff like that, some of those probably worked other jobs and, you know, were filling in or coming in to get extra, you know, hours or something like that. Maybe that been part of it, but I don't think that explains the why there were no beer and why there was no food. So it was just very interesting that they had run out, because they really had run out. I mean, they were screaming, "We have no beer." It's like, how the hell could you be at a football stadium on a weeknight and have no beer on with something that's been planned for 3 years?
Were you, Bill? Were you surprised that stadium roof was closed?
Yes, I was. I thought since they had done the other stadiums that were outdoor, the baseball stadiums and stuff like that, and a couple of other football places, I expected that to be open. When I walked by and saw, I mean, when we were driving up actually, and I looked over and saw that it was closed, I was a little dumbfounded by that. So wasn't sure if that was going to make it sound better or worse, but from where we were sitting initially, it couldn't have sounded any worse. It's not possible.
Yeah. The sound comparing Wrigley to Lucas Oil, the sound indoors was better. I don't know if that had to do with where we were. We were in right field and Wrigley Field, so off to the side, and Lucas Oil in Indianapolis. We were really far away, as Bill could attest, because I think I took a picture of you. You were on the floor and texted it to you during the concert, because I saw you through the binoculars I was looking at. But we were straight away, which was the sound quality was much, much better for Def Leppard and Poison. I thought Poison did a fantastic show in Indy, not so much in Wrigley in Chicago. Bill, I think you told me he may have been sick for part of it or something like that. But Motley Crue for me was, you know, I'm a huge Motley Crue fan from the 80s. And for me, it was just noise. It was just loud. And it took sometimes 15 to 20 seconds to figure out what song they were playing. I just feel like, you guys talk about this all the time, and Bill, I know you go to a lot of concerts. In the year 2022, can't these sound engineers get this figured out so that you can actually hear it, understand it, so that it's clear, crisp, and clean? It's surprising to me that in the year that we're in, with all the technology that we have, we still struggle with sound issues at concerts. You know, some of that has to do with where you're at and the acoustics of the building, and I get it, but for me, Motley Crue was just noise. It was just loud.
Well, let's ask our sound guy that's, you know, in the top level of the three of us. At least that's how my screen's working. Because I complained to Alan. I'm like, I'm bitching on my my text message to him about the sound where I was sitting in Indy. What plays into that, Alan? Do you have any clue, idea, input, thoughts?
Well, you said that the roof was closed on, you know, a lot of times in an enclosed area. Those buildings, even though they have tons and tons of concerts, they're not acoustically designed for tons and tons of concerts. And I'm sure the fact that the roof was closed played a part in the sound bouncing around and reflecting off of walls and windows. And regardless of how many bodies are in a facility that big, the bodies can't absorb all of that echo and reflection. But I agree with what you said, Doug. You know, it's 2022. They could do something to make that a lot clearer. But of course, also something to consider, they are Motley Crue. We know how some of the members of the band sound. If you just make it god awful loud, you know, you pay less attention to that one. I don't want to shit talk Vince. I really don't. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Yeah, I got some good things to say about Vince. I got a couple of good things to say. It's all right. My thing was, I started, so at Lucas Oil, I started at the end opposite the stage directly. I mean, we were directly opposite the stage, about probably eight rows from the top. So we were way up there, and it's like, you know, it doesn't angle like that. I mean, it's like that. So we were pretty far up there. You couldn't understand anything that I think the opening band was called Class Act or something like that.
Classless Act.
Classless Act. Okay. It had no idea what they were even playing. It wasn't even recognizable. The lyrics, you couldn't even understand at all. I mean, you could hear a guy singing, but you couldn't understand them. Joan Jett was completely unidentifiable. When they got to like the refrain of a song, you finally got it, but it took that long. I mean, it was really, really bad. But then we got moved down to the floor. It was phenomenal. The sound on the floor was phenomenal. I mean, it sounded like it should have sounded, well, like it should have, would have been better to sound up there. But even I watched the first Poison song from our seats up there, and it was, again, unrecognizable, you know, it's bad when you have a song that, you know, that everybody knows, you know, their first song was Look What the Cat Dragged In. And it took me to the refrain to figure out what the hell the song was. I mean, that is just bad. But I think what happened, at least in Indy, was they had the speakers in the front, and then the back of the auditorium, the back of the stadium, they had a lot of open seating in the floor. And they had seating, and then right behind the soundstage, it was all open all the way back to the end of the arena. And back there, they had three sets of speakers set up, and they were hanging, and they were tilted kind of up toward the, you know, upper decks or whatever. But I don't think there was enough. That part wasn't mixed right or something. And I don't know how you mix. I don't know if you can mix the speakers differently than the whole show or not, and I'm sure they're not mixing, you know, mixing to the soundboard. Those are all speakers behind the soundboard. So I'm sure nobody mixed those at all, but they sounded like dog shit. So,
Sure that it was the same way at Cincinnati, because you could see, you know, we were setting off at about the third baseline, you know, so you could see where they had speakers and everything pointed up. But, you know, it wasn't my seat. I wasn't going to go all the way up there to see how it sounded. It sounded bad enough where I was, or good enough, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, it was really bad.
It was the same at Wrigley. They had the three sets of speakers, but instead of them hanging, they were what, 20 or 30 feet in the air, you think, Phil? The
speakers? Yeah.
At Wrigley, they were on the ground. They were vertical, but the bottom speaker was on the ground, so they weren't raised at all.
Oh, really?
But there were still three sets, three stacks.
Huh, that's interesting. That's very interesting. So I can
tell the whole infield at Wrigley. Yeah, the whole infield at Wrigley was sectioned off. And what we found out, because we talked to a security person, and this may be true at Great, is it Great America? Is that what it is in Cincinnati?
Great American Ballpark.
At Wrigley, it's all natural grass, and so one of the contractual stipulations is that the concert, whoever it is that's putting on the show, has to replace the grass. So they had the concert on a Friday night, and I think the Cubs were back into play like on Wednesday the next week. So between the concert and that next game, they had to completely replace the grass in the entire field.
Wow.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah, over the foot, it's interesting you say that, because on the floor, they had plastic tiles down, white plastic tiles, big tiles. They were like 4 foot by 4 foot. I mean, they were huge. They had those down over the football field. So you could kind of feel it flex a little bit when you walked on it, but it was, the whole field was covered. I really thought that Indy had a tarp, I mean, a field that rolled up. And maybe it does for some things. I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine them putting, you know, however many pounds of dirt they put on there for the dirt for the, you know, monster trucks. But I don't know. I can't imagine them putting that on the football field. But maybe they do. I don't know. But yeah, that was a little bit interesting. But I'll tell you a little quick story about how we got on the floor. when we first walked in the building in Indy, it was really strange how they had it set up. You could only get in the east and west doors. You couldn't get in the doors that are on the north side because that's the main entrance and the stage backed up to the north side. So you had to go in the east or west, and they were looping people from the front of the stadium from that north door all the way around to the east and west. It was pretty far. I mean, you snaked around for quite a while. But when we first walked in the building, my son knew somebody that was able to kind of get us moved up a little bit, with some tickets, kind of called him and said, "Hey man, I can help you out a little bit, maybe get you on the floor." So he moved us down. So that's how we ended up on the floor, which worked out really great. I mean, we were right by the soundboard. So I figured being close to that, it's going to sound pretty good. And it did. It sounded phenomenal. So we got, like I said, we got to see, we missed one song of Poison while we were trying to get down there. And then we saw the rest of Poison, Def Leppard, and then, Motley Crue was Motley Crue. We, you know, kind of bolted at some point, but, yeah, so that's kind of how we got down there. It was really, you know, I've never been to a show like that. I did enjoy it. I enjoyed the vibe when I was down there. Cause it wasn't sold out. I mean, they kept saying it was sold out, but it wasn't sold out. I don't know where they got that. There were pockets, big chunks of seats available. Was it like that at you guys' arenas too? Was it sold out or was it?
Cincinnati wasn't sold out, but there was a lot of people there. You know, obviously, you know, the show started at like 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So when Classless Act and Joan Jett performed, there weren't a whole lot of people there. By the time Poison got on, you know, I would say maybe about half the people were there. And then by the time Motley Crue and Def Leppard were there, it was pretty full.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wrigley was full. That could have a lot to do with the fact that you're in a, you know, metropolitan area where there are 5 million people within 10 miles. And it was a Friday night. It was packed. Yeah, it was full.
That makes a difference too. Was yours on a weekend too, Alan, or was yours during the week?
Mine was on a Friday.
Yeah. See, and mine was on a Tuesday. Tuesday. I think that, yeah. And you know, I left work at 2:30, 2 o'clock, whatever, to come home, change clothes and then drive up there to get there by 4:00. And then the doors didn't open. They opened the doors at 3:30. So you couldn't get in to see the first band hardly. I think we saw two songs, something like that, which is okay, but it didn't matter because we couldn't understand a damn thing they said anyway. Didn't know that. I mean, cause I was going to catch somebody new, but it didn't. Just kind of the way it worked out.
It's interesting that your comment about Joan Jett, maybe it just had to do with where you were sitting, Bill. And I don't know if this is true for you or not, Alan, but if I take my bias out and the music that I really love, which is obviously Def Leppard and a handful of Crue songs and then Poison songs, take my bias out and just put on my, okay, I'm a lover of music and the balance and mix of the sound and the ability to understand. Joan Jett at Wrigley Field was actually the best in terms of quality sound, quality vocals. You could hear everything. What's their song? Bad Reputation.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn. But that song was, you know, amazing.
Did she close your show with that song?
Yeah.
See, she used to open her show with that song. And when she started to set out with Victim of Circumstance, of course, I'm a big Joan Jett fan. So I was thrilled that, you know, she started the show with that, you know. And at first I thought, oh my gosh, she's not going to do Bad Reputation. Then she closed with it. So I'm like, I'm good. But yeah, you know, I will agree with you. Joan Jett was the highlight of the whole thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And that is also me being a big Def Leppard fan.
I was blown away by how great it sounded, the quality of everything. It was just really, really good. Her voice is amazing. I mean, she rocked it.
It was great. I will give her credit because Bill and I and Dennis and our wives went and saw Joan Jett and Cheap Trick and Heart in Cincinnati at Riverbend several years ago. And you know, I don't know if the pandemic gave everybody time to just be off and rest their vocals or whatever, but when we saw her at Cincinnati last time, it didn't sound good at all.
Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah, and she may have been sick or something. It's hard to say, but I've seen her several times, and that was the only time that I ever really complained about Joan Jett. But when I saw her at the ball field, it was just like, she's back, yay!
Well, that's good. So the set list for Joan Jett, just since we're talking about it, is Victim of Circumstance, Cherry Bomb, Oh Woe Is Me, Do You Want to Touch Me, You Drive Me Wild, Fake Friends, Everyday People, Crimson and Clover, I Hate Myself for Loving You, I'm Gonna Run Away, I Love Rock and Roll, and Bad Reputation. It's a great set list, though. I mean, if you only got an hour to play, get your 12 in there. That's the right 12, I think. That's
Nope.
probably a pretty good one.
Nope.
Nope. What's she missing?
For us, all of those songs were there except you said, "Oh, Woe Is Me." She did "Light of Day" as her third song in Cincinnati, and she also switched around the order of some of those songs. Did you say "Crimson and Clover"?
Yeah, that was
Okay.
song number 8 for us in Indy.
Yeah. But I think she switched "Hate Myself" and "I Love Rock and Roll" from your order to my order. But that "Oh Woe Is Me" she didn't do. She did "Light of Day" in Cincinnati.
Interesting. That's pretty cool. Do you know what she did
He's
in
looking it
Chicago,
up. He's
Doug?
looking it up. Hey, y'all.
I don't know.
We got a special guest coming in.
Do we? Let's
We
see.
do.
Oh, your buddy.
Is it
My
Joan?
buddy Robert
Is
is on his way in the door.
Jett?
If it
Is it
was
Joan
Joan
Jett?
Jett, I would
I thought you were gonna
disconnect
ask Joan
y'all.
Jett.
If it was Joan Jett, I would disconnect y'all and talk to her myself. No, I really wouldn't do that.
That would be pretty harsh.
Hey guys, I don't know if we're gonna bounce around from band to band. I did have a question. Def Leppard is by far my favorite band of all time. I'm a huge fan, and after Adrenalize back in the early 90s, they went sideways. I don't know if you're familiar with
Amen,
Slang and some of
brother.
the it,
Amen. Oh,
it's
yeah. No, yeah.
not good.
I did a review for
But
Sling
then
with
they
a buddy
came
of mine, and it was horrible.
the Diamond Star Halos record. There are some really solid songs on there. I was just interested to get your take because maybe you're not big Leppard fans. You know, the opening song, Take What You Want. And then
I
they
think.
did this.
Oh, go ahead.
Now, and the other songs that they did, Kick, This Guitar. At Wrigley, they did Fire It Up, which is the third track on the Diamond Star Halos, which is a great song. It's a rap rock song, which they had never done before. They did not do that in Indianapolis. I was just interested to get your take on the new album from Def Leppard. You know, what you thought.
I listened to it a couple of times, and I think they put the tracks in the right order, because like the first four or five songs I really like. The next couple of songs, I'm like, oh, that's all right. And the other songs, I could just leave those songs. But you got to give those guys credit. They used that time off during the pandemic to do something that was decent quality. Because for those of us who, and of course, I'm old school. I like, Hysteria. I like Pyromania was my introduction to Def Leppard, but I'm not so old school that the first two albums are it and the rest of it is shit. I don't, and I've said this on this show before, a lot of my friends are older and they're pretty much like the raw Def Leppard and don't like the polished and well-produced Def Leppard.
Yeah, I thought the set list was great. I enjoyed all of the set list, actually. I mean, for me, there were two standout bands at that on that night, and that was Poison and Def Leppard. I mean, I thought Joe sounded great. I thought, musically they sounded great. They're really great musicians. They really have been for a long time. I thought they did a great job. I did like the couple new songs they played. I thought it was okay. They played a couple new songs in the middle of a set that, people came there to hear hits, but it wasn't anything wrong with it. And like you said, I think they were a couple of songs that on a new record kind of fit in where, fit in to that genre. Sometimes people get a new record and they go swerve and then it's like this really doesn't fit kind of where we're at to, what we're listening to, what
Well,
we came for.
I think one of the reasons that those songs fit is because those songs are basically written under the influence of T-Rex and the bands that they grew up listening to. So it comes out in Def Leppard.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. So I thought it was pretty good. I did like this guitar, the acoustic thing they did. I thought that was pretty cool. So I did enjoy those. All right, let's talk a little about Poison. Since we've been talking about the other bands, what about Poison for you guys? But for me, I'll be honest, that was the only reason why I went to the show. I mean, I like Def Leppard and stuff like that, but that was my main reason, was to go see Poison, because I think they always put on a great show, and it's a big party band. And if you leave, in my opinion, if you leave a Poison show and you had a bad experience, man, that's tough. I know everybody has a bad show every now and then, but
yeah,
those guys put on a hell of a show.
My only beef with the Poison thing, and I don't know if it's because Brett had been sick, but vocally he wasn't as strong as I've seen him before. And my huge beef was that Bobby and CeCe's backing vocals were so fucking loud.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh. They were just overpowering. It was distracting they were so loud, at least in Cincinnati.
How was it at Wrigley?
This is same to Alan's experience. So the vocals were pretty questionable. I didn't really notice as much the background vocals, but yeah, it was much better last week in Indianapolis. They put on a great show last week. It was really good.
Did you do which
was a nice surprise.
Yeah.
Did you do the Van Halen tribute thing?
Yep.
That was pretty cool. I like that.
I thought they just tore it up. I mean, I was impressed. So their set list was Look What the Cat Dragged In, Ride the Wind, Talk Dirty to Me, Your Mama Don't Dance. Then they did the guitar solo, turned it loose to CeCe, which did a great job. Fallen Angel and Skinny Bop. Ricky Rocket did a little drum solo thing, and then Every Rose Has Its Thorn, and finished with Nothing But a Good Time. I thought they did a great job.
We got one less song than you. We didn't get in Skinny Bop.
Really? Oh, you know what? They said they weren't going to do that, and he stuck it in the show that night. He said that.
That son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said they hadn't been doing it on the tour. And he said, you know, we're in Indy. We're going to play a little longer tonight. And by God, we're adding it in, and here you go. And they started playing it.
Right on.
Which I thought, that's kind of odd that they wouldn't play that song. I mean,
I know that one caught me off guard because it was a pretty big hit for them.
Yeah, I would have thought they'd have played that over Look What the Cat Dragged In, but who knows?
These are little nuances, comments that I'm making, but I do think it makes a difference. Outdoors at Wrigley or Great America in early July, I don't know about for you, Alan, but it really did not start getting dark until 9:15. So I think in terms of the show, with the lights and the lasers and all that, I mean, the effect of the experience when it was indoors at Indianapolis, I mean, during Def Leppard, I felt like the show was really incredible. Whereas at Wrigley, the show didn't really start till 9 or 9:30 because it was still light outside. That effect really has something to do with the experience.
That was the only thing that I didn't like about seeing Motley Crue before Def Leppard, because by the time Def Leppard come on, it was dark enough outside that you got the full effect of that.
Yeah, that would have been bad because Def Leppard used a ton of video. I mean, their video stuff was really cool. Especially, and I can't remember the song they did it, but they used all the X-ray stuff. They used a bunch of X-ray images. I don't know if anybody else noticed that. I took a shit ton of pictures.
What was that about? What was that all about?
I don't know, but I thought it was really cool. I'm just snapping away, taking video. my buddy Jay's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Dude, look at that. There's all those X-rays up there. It's so cool." You never see that. I don't know because there was no song like that. I don't know what song it was.
They weren't playing X-ray Eyes by Kiss?
No, they weren't. No, but I did think about that, to be honest with you. They were not. Yeah, I think you're right. And actually, sitting up there where we were at the top, I think it would have been, it was distracting having the light come through above the stage. It was very distracting. Yeah. I mean, the sun. So outside, I can only imagine outside how bad it would have been to watch that out, you know, be outdoors where you can't get dark, right? Till the sun goes down, kind of thing. But for me, that was what I really, moving down there, I think it really made a big difference. Because like when, by the time Def Leppard come on, because of the way that window is up there that was closed, in that end, it looked like it was dark. I mean, you couldn't really tell that it was still a little bit light outside. So yeah, I think that made a big difference. Did we talk about the set list for Def Leppard? Did we read that? I don't remember if we read that yet. I don't think
not
we
yet.
Did we? Yeah. So in Indy, we got Take What You Want, Let It Go, Animal, Foolin', Armageddon It, Kick, Love Bites, Promises, This Guitar, Two Steps Behind, Rocket, Bringing On the Heartbreak, Switch 625, which included a Rick Allen drum solo, Hysteria, Pour Some Sugar on Me, Rock of Ages, and Photograph. So 17
that's what we
songs. Got. The same thing?
Yep.
Yep.
We had a couple different songs in Wrigley, but generally the same. They didn't play Promises from Diamond Star Halos. They played Fire It Up, and then instead of Let It Go, was Let It Go the third song or second?
Second.
They played Excitable from Hysteria, which I love that song.
That would have been cool to see.
It was really cool. Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Rob.
Let It Go was back from
Thanks.
Okay.
It took me a while to get here. Sorry, guys.
That's okay. Life happens, man.
Yeah.
That's how this show works.
But they did play Excitable right after Let It Go in Cleveland. So.
Oh, you went to a Cleveland show. So you went to even a different show.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they were the.
That's the only reason I invited Rob. So we had.
I thought it was
cities.
The same show you were. I just got confused.
Yeah. No. It was funny because the night he was at the Cleveland show, I was in Indianapolis at the Doobie Brothers show, and he was texting me, telling me about Motley Crue. And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Motley Crue is horrible.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, we haven't got to that part yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Rob, talk about Cleveland. How was the? So we've talked about, just to kind of give you a little recap, kind of just the sound in the venue and the stadium and stuff like that. Doug, that's there. You see Doug. He went to Wrigley Field and to Indy, to the Lucas Oil. I just went to the Lucas Oil show. So, and you know about Alan. So
yeah,
how was it?
I've never been to a stadium show. I've never been to a show inside of like a football stadium or a baseball stadium. And I did that within a couple of weeks. I'll talk about that. But first time in a big football stadium, I thought the sound was decent. I didn't think it was great by any stretch of the imagination, but we got there late. The traffic in Cleveland was horrible. We missed Joan Jett completely. I heard her doing Bad Reputation as we're walking up to the gates. She sounded really good, and I hear she was probably one of the highlights of the show. Poison, I've seen three times. They always bring it. I mean, their sound is, it's Poison sound. But Bret Michaels is an entertainer. He does a good job keeping the crowd entertained and, you know, having fun. So I liked the Poison part of it. Def Leppard, I seen one time. It was the Hysteria tour when they did it in the round. So everybody was surrounded by, you know, around the stage. And it was a very visual, nice show back in 88. And that's when Steve Clark was still with us. And Steve Clark, in my opinion, is one of the greatest guitarists, underrated guitarists of all time. And I like their tribute to Steve doing the Switch 625. And Let It Go is one of my favorite songs. I was surprised they played that. And but Def Leppard, I thought they brought it. I thought his vocals were good. I didn't think they were great by any stretch of the imagination, but he didn't overdo it either. So, but yeah, you haven't got to Motley Crue yet. So I thought the show was good up till then.
So what you're saying is vocally, Joe Elliott stayed in his lane.
He did.
There you go. I just wanted to get that stay in your lane No reason. That's
what I think. That's what I think. That's what made. But I do think that's what made a difference, because he didn't try to do anything. He didn't try any gymnastics or any of that vocal crazy shit that people do and stuff like that. I mean, it was
Paul Stanley.
No. I mean, that's the thing that makes me mad about Paul Stanley. Stop that crap, because it ruins you. That's your problem. But, you know, I thought he sounded really good in Indy. I thought he was really crisp and clear, and it was impressive.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it, to be honest. And then so now we're kind of on to Motley Crue. So you're going to get to join us at the time where this now turns into a
bash Vince.
How long does this have to last? So Alan, did you get Motley Crue headlining, or were they?
No, were they Motley third? Def Leppard was the headliner in Cincinnati. So. Which, like I had said earlier, that the one thing that I didn't like about Motley Crue not closing the show is I would like to have seen all of the screens and the light show and all of that stuff after it was dark, because you didn't really get the full effect of that. Yeah. Now, a question that I have for you, since you were an indoor show, did they blow that big thing of smoke in the inside the venue?
I was very surprised that they did that.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't believe they did it.
That stunk really bad, and I wasn't anywhere near the blast zone. You know,
we were standing between the two towers sitting on the floor, and when those things went off at the beginning, I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, you couldn't hardly see the stage at all. It was
– I'm surprised you could breathe.
Yeah, it was pretty intense, that's for sure.
Yeah, I took my youngest son. He's almost 19, and my wife went with me too. I actually won those tickets, Bill. I don't know if I told you that or not to Indy, but I told
you
them
told
both
me you
before
stole
Motley Crue came out.
Now you're changing your story.
There is no way they're gonna let off that smoke. There's no way, because at Wrigley, you couldn't see anything for like 5 minutes. I'm like, where? And they did. I was so surprised that they did that.
Same in Cleveland. They did. Is this a bunch of big old smoke? And I'm sitting on the lower level in club seating right across from the stage, and I could see everything, and then I couldn't see everything. And I'm like, whoa, it's just a bunch of smoke. But it cleared out quick. It's a lot of wind on Lake Erie. So it pushed it out.
That's good. So yeah, that was for me. You know, there were so many people around us that were like, we're all here to see Motley Crue. So I think they were pretty happy that they ended up being the headliner. But man, it was, I'm going to be honest with you. It took me, I didn't even understand. It probably took me a minute or two, probably 2 minutes into the song to even know what they were doing, that they were doing Wild Side. I couldn't understand a damn thing. And it was just a big, muddy mess, considering what I just heard from Def Leppard and Poison. That was great, crystal clear. It was just a disaster. And I can't imagine what you didn't hear, Rob, is I was sitting at Lucas Oil Stadium when the show started. I had seats like 8 rows from the upper deck opposite the stage.
Wow.
So I was way the hell up there, and it was horrible. You couldn't understand anything. So we moved to the floor, and it sounded worse for Motley Crue than it did up there for the other folks.
Right.
And it was like that for every song. It took a while for me to figure out what they were. But there were pockets of time where you could actually hear Vince singing. And you could see it on the video. I mean, they were playing and he was singing and it sounded okay. Now they were, the pockets are, I swear to God, they were little pockets. They were like
little Barbie doll pockets,
but you could tell. And he wasn't just like, there were a couple, you know, for the most part, he did the same Vince Neil stuff, but you know that going in, if you go to a Motley Crue show and know he only sings like once every, you know, part of the verse, then you just, that's your problem. But, there were songs that were just, they were just flat unrecognizable. I don't know how many, Alan, did I text you that like 14 times?
Let me see here.
You probably did.
15.
Yeah, 15. Okay. It was just frustrating. I'm like, why would you go through all this and then put out something that is just unrecognizable? And I know why they do it. I get it. But man.
But they said they were never going to come back. They're never going to do another tour. And yeah,
okay.
I don't think they should have. I thought they got better. Melissa's a big Motley Crue fan, and she's looking at me like rolling her eyes. They got better throughout the night in Cleveland. I can actually understand the songs. Then it got dark, and then I seen half naked chicks up and down on a pole. So yeah, I mean, it was visually, it was awesome because they were doing smoke and mirrors. We're going to let you look at these chicks while we just do this crap as bad as we can. And after a few of these, yeah, they sounded pretty good by like the last song.
Well, you know what? In Indianapolis, they were so bad in Indianapolis, some guy just jumped out of the balcony.
What?
That sounded really. There was a guy that did fall. There was a drunk gentleman that fell from the upper deck down to the second deck below him. And
well, you know, I had heard that guy had fallen, but me being the concert girl that I am, assumed somebody fell from the upper deck. Alcohol was most likely involved.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't say anything about that till I heard on the radio that his right. blood alcohol level indicated he was intoxicated. That's all they said.
Well, if it indicated he was intoxicated, it must have been elevated.
No, I don't. I'm just saying.
Hi, Melissa.
Trying to get her to give her intake because she's looking at me rolling her eyes.
So what's her intake? We want to hear her intake. What does she think? She's a big Motley Crue fan. Was it the best Motley Crue show you've seen?
Come over here. She goes,
you know how much I love Melissa. Tell her Big Al wants.
Yeah. Oh, quit nitpicking everything. I heard that part.
Yeah.
So I would like to know though, is it for her, was it the best Motley Crue show she's ever seen?
She doesn't care. It could have been Milli Vanilli and she would have been, oh yeah, that was awesome.
Oh dude, you're gonna get the hell out of here.
No, seriously. We went and seen Rat. We already done that deal. Rat was lip syncing too. And we walked out of there and she goes, why are we leaving? I said, because Steven's not singing. He's just lip syncing. And I got pissed off and I left. I mean, I'm at the House of Blues right at the stage. I'm watching him and Warren was the highlight of the show. Yeah. The guitar. And he
Warren
says,
is always the highlight of the show.
He said, he'll never do another Rat show ever. He says he's done. And Steven, he's lip syncing, and this is like 5 years ago, maybe even longer. What?
Oh wow, was that long ago?
Yeah, it was when I first moved up here. So, and she just rolled her eyes and walked out of the room. So it's just me.
Tell Melissa I still love her.
No, but Motley Crue was a disgrace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doug, what are your thoughts between the two different shows?
At Wrigley, Def Leppard closed. In Indy, it was reverse. Motley Crue closed. I agree with Robert. What Robert said is actually good. It seemed to me like, you know, I'm trying to give you guys a break, right? I mean, Motley Crue, the longer they played towards the end of the set, it seemed to get better. I don't know if that's because it was better or just I knew the songs. There were several songs there for Motley Crue in between the second or third and the 10th song that I didn't know very well. Def Leppard to me, and I've told you guys, Robert, I didn't get a chance to tell you, by far Def Leppard is my favorite band for all the reasons that we're talking about. I just can't believe five guys in their mid 60s can continue to do what they do and bring it and have the quality of the musicianship and the balance of the vocals and the instruments. And I know there are tracks involved, but,
right.
You know, taking my 18-year-old son, he was blown away. He had listened to a lot of Def Leppard because I'm such a huge fan. He said it was so much better than he ever dreamed it would be. Just the quality of the sound, was so much better than the other three. And I thought in Indy, Poison sounded better, but still for me, Def Leppard was by far the highlight, but I'm very biased to being a fan.
Right.
Well, I can tell you, you may not know. I mean, I don't know if you guys probably know this, but a friend of mine's cousin is the sound engineer for Def Leppard. And he said the only reason why he works for them is because they use no backing tracks at all.
I believe
it is all live. There is nothing piped in, period. And he said he would not work for other bands that were there that don't do that.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, let's go back to Motley Crue for a minute. Because I'm texting Alan and he says, wait till you see the dirt or wait till you hear the dirt. So that was like the next song. So I kind of paid attention. I'm like, well, that's interesting. That song sounds phenomenal. The vocals are great. The harmony is great. The playing's great. Why does Vince Neil have his back to the stage? That's kind of son of a bitch. Man, just that was like you talk. That wasn't even mailing it in. They were just, that was just a flat out not playing it. We're going to play it right off the track. Enjoy it.
Well, you got to give Robert, to the point you were making, you got to give the crew some credit, right? Because not only were there visual distractions that we've already discussed, but those three ladies were also singing background. And my guess is they're pretty strong singers. So they were making a pretty bad song sound pretty good because of their vocals, maybe.
Yeah, you're right.
That was part of it.
I would agree with that 100%.
Yeah, me and Al talked about that. And he said, yeah, these ladies, they're good singers. And they really, they covered up Vince's lack of vocals.
And they also didn't hurt my eyeballs.
At all.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't understand about the Motley Crue thing, I didn't get the when they went into that little medley thing that they did, and when Nikki Six came songs. Out, when Nikki came out and did a thing, yeah, when they did the little medley thing, I'm like, that's like two other songs you could have done. I don't get it. I know they stuck Smoking in the Boys' Room in there a little bit. It was part of that medley, but and Helter Skelter.
That medley was all of a bunch of the different songs that they've covered over the years.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think they did that just because there are those of us, you know, Helter Skelter is my all-time favorite Beatles cover song.
Right.
You know, so the fact that they just did a little bit of it, you know, kind of to me it felt like they were paying tribute to those that came before them, or however you want to look at it, their influences.
Yeah, I can see that.
I kind of enjoyed that medley. I really did. But I was probably five beers deep in big beers. So, yeah.
Well, that's when we left.
$100 worth of beer in.
Right, exactly.
If you only had five, it was $100. Yeah, yeah. That was when that started. That was when we left. We were like, that's it, done. I can't do this anymore. And we were tired. I mean, we've been up standing up for 5 hours, so it was like a little worn out. But
so
yeah, so here
old,
we go. This is
you
the
old bastard.
Yeah, this is the track listing or the track the track listing.
Well, maybe. There were tracks in there.
There were tracks in there. This is a set list for Indianapolis, at least. Wild Side, Shout at the Devil, Too Fast for Love, Don't Go Away Mad, Just Go Away, Saints of Los Angeles, Livewire, Looks at Kill. And on mine, it says Looks at Kill, and then under it says Intoxicated Fan Falls from Balcony. And number 8 was The Dirt. Number 9 was The Medley. 10 was Home Sweet Home. Then they did the movie, I guess, for Terror in Tinseltown, which I didn't see that, so I don't know. It looks like a movie thing. Dr. Feelgood, Same Old Situation, Girls, 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 Primal Scream, and Kickstart My Heart. So I like all of those. I like all of those Motley Crue songs.
That was the
except
set.
For The Dirt. I don't care about The Dirt, but
that was the set that they did in Cincinnati. And for me personally, Saints of Los Angeles was the biggest turd of the whole fucking show. It was terrible. I mean, up to that point, Vince was making a more concerted effort.
That's what I thought.
To say the words, and when he got to that song,
It was unrecognizable.
The cat getting fornicated was in full effect.
Yeah, I would agree.
Doug, did you have any different thing down between the two shows for Motley Crue?
They did not end with Kickstart My Heart, because it's my my kid's favorite Motley Crue song is that. So I took a video, and it was like the third or fourth song from the end. So the set list at the end was different at Wrigley.
Wow.
I don't remember it. I don't have it pulled up.
Somebody must have hit shuffle on the playlist.
Yeah. Well, right. One thing we know is you can't do that at a Kiss show. Paul would know what to do.
I'm going to get so much hate mail. It's going to be glorious.
No, all right. We'll kick around our own favorite band a little bit just because we can. They deserve it. Well, fellas, that's really pretty much all I got for this thing. I don't know about the rest of you. What else? You got any more input? Any other shows coming up recently, coming up soon that you're going to go, you're going to hit?
Only shows that I have left to hit this year is next month. I'm going to Louder Than Life. I believe you're going to that now, aren't you, Bill?
I am. I'm going to hang out with Dennis in the cheap seats.
I'm going to the hell that means. I'm going to the Saturday show.
Yep.
And then the day before Thanksgiving, Brian and I are going to Nashville to see Wasp at the Ryman Auditorium.
Cool.
It's going to be kind of funny watching Wasp in basically an old church.
In an old church. It's going to be the Antichrist right there.
That's right. Well, now Blackie found Jesus, so he don't do them songs anymore.
Everybody can be saved.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus loves everybody.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm going to that show. I was trying to look and see if I have shows for, let's see, what else do I have? I have Carrie Underwood coming up in the fall. I got tickets for her because I haven't seen her for a long time, which is not a rock show. I think that's really all I got. That was my big last show for a while. So, I talked about going to see Accept in Nashville. Just because I hadn't seen them in years, but I don't know if I'll end up making it down there. I think it's on a Thursday night, which means I have to take off.
It's a little tough.
Yeah. Well, I'm not coming back. So if I go down there for that, I'm not coming back because it won't come on till 9. And I'm
too
old.
It'll be a long day for you.
I don't have it in me. I don't have that in me coming. Drive back 4.5 hours after a show that ends at midnight. No, not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Well, I had mentioned earlier, I'd never been to a stadium show. The first stadium show was the one we just all witnessed, and it was good and bad, kind of ugly, and it was kind of glorious in its own right. But then I got to see a stadium show in a baseball field. I got to see Elton John.
Oh yeah, how was that?
That was phenomenal. I've seen a lot of great shows, and this man is a freaking entertainer. At the age of what, 75? 75 like freaking years. Yeah. And I've seen Jeff Lynne and ELO in Toronto. That was my favorite show of all time.
I tried to get you to come to Chicago.
I know. I know you did. I know you did. How was the Chicago show?
It was phenomenal.
It was. I mean, what was there? They sounded perfect, did they not?
Well, yeah, it's Jeff Lynne.
Yeah. He does not put on a bad show, but yeah, we got to Elton John. We were up in the upper deck, but we know that ball field well, and we know that you could stand over in one corner, standing room only. We had tickets up upper deck, so we went down there and we were as eye level with the stage and stood there the whole night and watched him. And it was, I mean, you go to a concert, you get goosebumps on your arm, and you're like, holy shit, I'm actually watching this guy. That's when you know that it's a surreal show. I've only been to three shows that's done that. The Eagles with all the original members in Atlanta.
Wow.
And Jeff Lynne and ELO, but of course, not the original members with Jeff Lynne, but Jeff Lynne, in my opinion, is a genius. To put the type of music he put together, I'm just a big Electric Light Orchestra fan. I mean, I love their music. Cool. There's not a song that I hear by them that doesn't put me in a happy place. It just puts me I mean, if I could be in a shit mood, guess what? I'm going to put that on. I'm going to be there. But yeah, I'm going to go see Sammy Hagar in 2 days. Cincinnati.
You know, I hate that you're going to be in Cincinnati and I can't go to that show because I have to go to Texas this weekend.
That'll be a good show.
Yeah, and George Thorogood's opening. So
yeah,
never seen George Thorogood, never seen Sammy Hagar.
I saw Sammy Hagar with Chickenfoot.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah.
But Jason Bonham wasn't on the drums.
No, I've seen
that was
Chad Smith.
Yeah.
No, Chad Smith wasn't there for that show. Oh. It was Kenny Aronoff.
Well, it's one of the three of them, right?
Which I've seen. I have seen Kenny Aronoff with John Mellencamp, Melissa Etheridge, Chickenfoot, and about 17 other bands. Fogerty.
He's that go-to drummer.
Yeah. He's actually going to be playing in a... He's actually playing in a special band for Jim Irsay. Jim Irsay, who owns the Colts, is having a special thing, and you can buy tickets for it. It's a fundraiser of some type, but he's going to show off all of his guitar collection and some other stuff. I mean, he's got some guitars that are like super, super, super rare. But Kenny's playing in that band. But I've seen Sammy with the Circle a couple of times, and it's a great show. It really is a very good show. And the first time I saw him, he was with Van Halen, and it was absolutely horrible.
Really?
He was horrible. Sammy was, he was horrible. Eddie was horrible. It was bad.
Wow.
Bad show.
Well, I wouldn't be going, but she come in one day and goes, I heard this on the radio. I want to go. This is like, I don't know. I want to go see Sammy Hagar. This out of the blue. I said, okay, it's your birthday present. Her birthday's in September. And I said, yeah, we'll go.
There you go.
But then I found out Jason Bonham's on drums, and I'm a big Led Zeppelin fan. So
yeah,
that's about as close as I'm going to ever see a Bonham play drums.
Have you seen the Jason Bonham Led Zeppelin experience?
I have not.
That's as close. You could sit there, close your eyes.
Right.
It's yeah. Oh, you're there.
I saw Page and Plant in DC back in 98. I was so out there. I don't even remember being there.
Yeah.
So.
They have an Asian guy that plays guitar, and I can't remember his name, but that guy, I'm telling you, I sat there in the, it was in a small venue here, really small.
Yeah.
2000 seater, and sat there, and you close your eyes and you're like, man, this is
Led Zeppelin.
This is it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And he's going to be an indie coming up again in the fall. That's cool. It is. Yeah.
Doug, do you have any shows coming up?
Unfortunately, no. As Bill knows, I have three children. They are all three in college. We just took my last to Ball State University on Thursday this last week, so I'm going to fully immerse myself in Yacht Rock Review and Hallmark movies for the next 60 days as an empty nester.
Okay, you can skip the Hallmark movies because I'm taking your man card, but then the rest of it, you're good, man. We'll hit some shows. We're going to get some club shows.
I'm just messing with you. Yeah. No shows as of right now, but thanks for asking.
All right. Cool. Well, I guess that will do it for this episode. And you all know the routine. Visit ageofrock.com. Check out our past episodes and social media links. And until next time, peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.